Hello and welcome to the Nittany Gritty. I am John Sauber of the Center Daily Times. He is Tim Frazier, former Penn State men's basketball legend. And Tim, it is looking like it's going to be a weird week for Penn State men's basketball, just as we probably should have seen coming. They beat Maryland on senior night because this is a team that kind of ebbs and flows with momentum, and this is a pretty good time to have momentum because they're heading into the Big Ten tournament facing Michigan on Wednesday.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you look at it, you want to be the best team you can be, and this is the month. It's March. You know, it's March Madness for a reason. This team has been up and down all year, but they finished the regular season with a win on the senior night. It's a great way to send the seniors off with a huge win, a blowout win. So now it's March. Now it's the tournament. It's the Big Ten tournament, and you look at the schedule. They got to win 5 games in 5 days. Not saying that it's impossible, but it is going to be tough. It's going to be tough minded individuals, and some guys going to really have to take care of their bodies, and hopefully they can stretch out to the games. They can win some games, have some blowouts, which will allow some of their key players to rest.
You may not say it's impossible. I'll say it's highly, highly, highly unlikely. It's just not something I expect to see happening. But like, there's value in making it further, regardless of winning the Big Ten. You know what I mean? Even like making the quarterfinals, winning two and losing one, I think would be really valuable. Because this team, like, no, it's not fighting for an NCAA tournament berth, right? And you know, we talked about at the beginning of the year that would be like a top fifth percentile outcome, right? Like this, it looked really unlikely heading into the season. But we both thought the NIT was on the table. And right now, the NIT is kind of on the table, right? They need to get to a spot where their record doesn't look appalling to the NIT. But I think they've got a legitimate chance, and I'll be curious to see, you know, how far do they have to go, right? Like how far do they have to get in the Big Ten tournament to make it? Because as you and I were talking about before we started recording, like this is kind of the best case scenario for a pass standpoint for Penn State. Beat Michigan already, and that Michigan team is an absolute tire fire right now. I know I'm saying this, and Michigan's probably going to win on Wednesday. Play Indiana if they win that game, have dominated Indiana this year, and then potentially playing Illinois in the quarterfinals, a team that they've beaten this year. Admittedly, it would be a neutral site, much tougher matchup. But still, like this kind of lines up well. But like you said, they have to be ready for – that third game in the third day, right? It may not be 5 days if they can't go that far, but you know, getting to that third day, from your experience, how much different is this week, this tournament week, from the regular season, right? Like, how do you prepare differently, both physically and mentally, for this?
I think in the tournament, especially when we made that run in 2010, I think I want to say 2010, 2011, when we made that run to the championship. I think the difference in between it was because, you know, usually when you win a big game or against you know, when you're the lower seed or you win you knock off Wisconsin or you beat Michigan State or whoever it might be, you had those kind of couple days to kind of like live it out, you know. But in the tournament, it's so fast. It's like, hey, we won this game. We literally won a game that night. We go back, we eat, we go back to the hotel. We literally have film by the time you got back. On the next team, watch that. Then the next morning, you wake up, do a walkthrough, a shoot around, and then you play again. So the time of kind of the celebratory, and you celebrate, talk about how we played, and you know, see yourself, look at yourself on social media. I'm sure as the kids would do. You have to flip this switch, like literally as the game's over, and move on to the next game because now you have an even tougher opponent because now you're going with somebody that's probably at a higher seed as well than the team you just played. So I think that's the biggest difference is just such a quick change in everything that you do now. Every win that you make, you move on to the next game. And at the end of the day, you know you're playing in a do or die situation to where like, hey, if we lose this game, hey, our season is over. I know we talk about postseason. There might be an NIT on the table. I'm not sure if they have the CBI. It could be a CBI. Who knows? But at the end of the day, you know, like as far as the Big Ten tournament goes, hey, this is win or go home. So when we finish this could be my last game for a long couple, what, for, you know, 6 months until, I don't know how many months there is in between until November starts up again. So there's the added pressure with that. Again, you talked about with the schedule, you got Michigan first, then you got Indiana and then Nebraska. And you know, I know we talked about they've had Indiana's number, but from, you know, I've seen and saw that Indiana's been, you know, pretty hot lately, been rolling. And, you know, it's hard to beat a team, especially when you got them last time. You know, so I think there's a chance, and you know, I think that it really is going to be really based on what. One thing I notice here is it's not necessarily your stars that win you these games all the time. Yeah, your stars are going to take over the game at the end or kind of settle you down when things get rattled. But it's the role players. And, you know, I speak back to that 2010 team when we went to the tournament, we went to the championship, and we beat all those teams we were, you know, that had higher seeds, was that it wasn't necessarily Taylor. You know, obviously Taylor played well in some of those games, but we had everybody, other guys stepped up, you know, and that was huge for us because other guys stepped up. It was even almost a coming out party for myself as well. And, you know, I mean, I had a big game against Michigan State, and from there, that kind of pushed us forward because, you know, I mean, I had to, like we said, we're talking about 5 games and 5 nights to get to a championship, or, you know, I mean, 3 games and 3 nights just to get to the, you know, quarterfinals or what it may be. So it's tough and it's there, but they're going to need a full team effort throughout this week to understand what's at stake.
When you mentioned the Michigan State game that you stepped up, like, this is a scenario where at some point, if Penn State really wants to make a deep run, even honestly to the quarterfinals for that, you know, or to the semis, if they want to win 3 games, someone is going to have to likely bail Ace Baldwin out one night, right? Yeah. Because it's really hard to play at that highest level for 3 straight games. Odds are he's not going to play well in one of them, and then someone else will have to bail him out. And that was kind of, you know what I mean, that you mentioned the Michigan State game. That's one thing I thought of with that, right? You got to bail out the guy on that team, and that was, mm-hmm. you know, can set the momentum forward like it did for you moving forward the rest of your career. But that can happen here too this week. You mentioned the CBI. No Power 5 teams, well, Power 6, I guess, if we're going to include the Big East, have gone to the CBI in the last 5 years. I'm guessing Penn State would say no to the CBI if they were invited, just because it's like – there's less value in it. But no, you mentioned the NIT, like that might still be on the table. I'm going to be honest. I forgot the CBI existed. I forget it exists every single year.
And the only reason I mentioned it, John, because, you know, you look at it, it's like, yeah, most teams, most Power 5, they do look at it in a different standpoint. But I look at it as, because we talk about first year roads, hey, we're getting a postseason experience. And that was the only reason I'm looking at it. But, you know, I mean, my personal opinion, I would turn it down as well. But if I was the coach, or if that was it, but I'm just saying, if he does take it, I would understand the value in taking it. Yeah. Hey, we're building something, and this is the postseason. We want to be ready for next year when we want is NIT NCAA tournament.
I am guessing that decision ultimately, like you said,
is a money decision.
Is a money decision. Well, I mean, it's college sports. Everything's a money decision. Across the board. But no, I do think you're right. Like, this is one of those weeks where you kind of find out a bit about yourself too, right? Like, this is, you kind of find out what you're made of. But you mentioned too, something that I actually asked Mike Rhodes about earlier today. We had a press conference with him. You said about like the walkthrough and like the quick game plan and everything. And I asked Mike, like, if this is more about, if these kind of weeks, these kind of settings are more about being yourself rather than game planning for an opponent, right? Because you still game plan, you still know their tendencies and everything. But this to me feels like a time, and he essentially agreed with it, that you kind of lean a little bit more into your identity, right? And about playing how you play and just kind of banking on that being good enough. You're still game planning, you're still scouting ahead, but like you're really leaning into that identity and being like, okay, at most you're having 24 hours to prepare for an opponent. Right. Like once you get in, that's your second win. Yeah. Like and so like you really need to know who you are and play how you play. And I think that's why we see teams make runs sometimes, because they kind of find themselves. Right. They figure out who they are and they really lean into it. And maybe it's different from who they were 2 months earlier. So the team game planning for them has this small scouting report and it's not the same. And suddenly you're dealing with a different animal. But yeah, I think like. You know, you mentioned getting the extra games of a potential CBI or what have you. Like, this can be that too, right? This can show us people on the outside, like, who is going to step up on next year's team? Who are you going to look at and be like, okay, there's a bigger role for that guy next year, right? There are also going to be decisions. Both Ace Baldwin and Puff Johnson have said that they haven't decided if they're coming back yet. We will see how that goes. That's probably a discussion for another day on what we think that they'll end up doing. But, you know, I do think that, like, There's plenty to be gained this week, and I'm curious, did you mentioned that Michigan State game? What did that do for your confidence going into the next year? Right, like what does a game like that in that environment do for you moving forward, and how does it kind of let you know that you're ready for it?
I think me personally, I think just that, like, again, throughout that season of mine, like, you know, it was up and down for me, you know, and as a freshman playing, not playing, starting, you know what I mean? It was up and down all the way through. But, you know, we had came to a moment throughout that Big Ten tournament, and I just kind of saw what could be. And, you know, it was special for me because, you know, we were a team full of seniors and myself and I think Cam Woodward. And so we really didn't have much. But just to see those guys, those seniors go off on a high note was, you know, was a benefit for me. It meant a lot for me to see that because then I got a taste and I was like, I want to have that feeling again. So to answer your question, to be able to step up and be able to make it into the Big Ten championship, obviously being the Blues and Ohio State, but to beat the teams that we had to go through, I think it was Wisconsin, Michigan State, I want to say Illinois also, to get to the championship. And just to have that feeling, I was striving to get to that feeling next year. And I was in the year after that. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. But I always wanted that feeling again because it was so special to see that, hey, yo, man, we knocking guys off like left and right. Hey, nobody and literally, like I spoke about last week, we're walking in there and there's nobody's rooting for us. You know, I think it was in Indianapolis. Nobody's rooting for us. So everybody, you know, that's Indianapolis is like a hub for everybody there to get, you know, all the close teams. So they all right there. And it was like we had our section up at the top and it was amazing to see them. And then eventually by that Sunday when it was the championship, you know, you start to see like everybody was kind of rooting for us against Ohio State because, you know, I was like, hey, man, we want to see the underdog here, you know, win. So that was obviously a great feeling. And, you know, I mean, I will mention this is something that was amazing for us. After we had won one of the games, we came back to the hotel and all the fans that were at the top, they were at the hotel. And it was like, there's videos of this on YouTube, whatever. And they see us just coming through the hotel and everybody's like, I believe, you know what I mean? So it was like this emotion that was going around, be like that poured onto us as players as well to say, hey man, we're not just doing this for ourselves. There's some people behind it. So it was emotional and it was special to be able to be a part of that. And again, leading into next year, I believe that I could do that. You know what I mean? I had just, like you said, had the great game against Michigan State. I had went against the powerhouses and the best point guards in the Big Ten. And I believe in next year, it was just time to show up and get better and do it again. So I believe for Ace and Puff, like I think they gave the political answer. Hey, I'm not sure. And trust me, I'm sure there's some doubt of not knowing which way they want to go. But I think at this moment right now, that's the answer you give regardless, because you don't want to take away and take what you're trying to do this week away from.
And I think on some level, I don't want to insinuate anything or say anything directly about Puff and Ace. But generally speaking, if you are trying to get more NIL money or, you know what I mean, what have you, like, saying you're coming back is not good for that, right? Like, to be like, oh, I'm coming back. And it's like, well, then what's the need, right? Like, I'm not saying that's the case here, to be clear. But if that is going on, then it isn't helpful to say that you're coming back. And actually, right now, if I had to guess, that I would say both, call an educated guess, I would say that both are going to be back. I don't think those are final decisions because I do think Ace can play in the G League next year, right? Like, I think he is a good enough player to do that. And frankly, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he carved out a career that wasn't all too dissimilar to yours, right? In the kind of timeline of everything, work his way up, end up being in the NBA for longer than people expect, right? Like, you know this, people counted you out pretty quickly when you went to the NBA and you ended up having a long career. But I think he could end up looking at something like that, right? And I don't necessarily know if that has to start next year. It could start the year after, but I do think it's on the table. If anyone I think is going to build off of this, especially if we're going to, you know, if I'm going to say like you used your game against Michigan State for that, I think DeMarco Dunn is a really good candidate for that, for this Penn State team, right? Like he's been he had a bigger role foisted onto him because of, Kanye Clary being dismissed from the team. He's been on the ball a little bit more. Now that hasn't been as much the case of late, but they're still relying on him. And I think you could see like a game or two if they get that far where it's like, oh, okay, this is what it looks like. And then suddenly next year you're looking at that backcourt of him and Ace Baldwin, if Ace comes back, is like a high-end backcourt. You know, and I think a guy like that, a guy who's going to have the ball in his hands more, like you, right? Like you went up from – you. I mean, they put the ball in your hands when you were on the court, but like you weren't Taylor, right? Like you weren't Taylor Battle out there at the, because he was, you know, the guy on that team. So I think he's learning to play off the ball right now, and then giving him the ball in that situation kind of maximizes him in a way that allows him to take that step forward. And I think that's especially true for guys who control the ball, right? Like when you don't have it as much, it's a tougher adjustment. So I think getting it and getting that kind of game would be huge for him next year.
Yeah, I agree. I think this Big Ten tournament is nothing but positive. You know, I mean, there's no negative for it in me.
Unless we lose Wednesday.
But at the end of the day, I don't know if it's necessarily negative, because just is what this team has been through all year. Like, it wouldn't put us past. It's not something, obviously we hope and we don't think it's going to happen. But if it does happen, it just shows that, the team wasn't ready for the tournament.
It really shows the flip-flopping nature of how they've been all year too, right? You and I talk about this all the time, like how they've gone back and forth, like winning on senior night to end the regular season, then losing to the worst team in the Big Ten. Would be like almost two on the nose for this team.
Right. But at the end of the day, like I was saying, I don't see a negative, because if they do lose that, man, that's nothing. But that's fuel on the fire, because now it's not saying it's a disgrace, because obviously you play the game, there's always a winner and a loser. But it's a slap in the face for sure, because, everybody in that locker room believes that, hey, man, we're a better team than Michigan, and we have a chance to make a run and, to slip. And have a mishap against Michigan at this moment is something that can't happen. It's something that, should be something that weighs on them all summer long. So when we talk about those spring workouts, those summer workouts, going into, summer one and summer two, man, that's the last taste you're going to have in your mouth is, a loss to the worst team in the Big Ten when you had a chance to, really make some noise and set yourself up for some type of postseason. So that's what I say. I don't think there's no negative to it. You know what I mean? There's going to be positive to this regardless. I think, hey, if you win one game, two games, three games, and let alone go up to five, I think that's the best case scenario. I know you don't believe in it, but I've done it. I've done to the four games. You know what I mean? I did the four games in four nights and got to the championship.
It's way tougher when you add that Wednesday night game in.
Yeah, I agree, especially to kids that don't have the resources that, obviously we'd have in the NBA as well. So I think, like you said, I'm trying to think what did I do after the game? I think literally I went back, put ice on my knees, and then just got up the next day and went at it. So
covering the games last year, they make that run into the championship game, right? Like by the end of it, I was like, I may as well have been going to bed, ice in my knees, and like going to sleep, just because it was like they're long work days. And I'm kidding, of course, but like
it's
exhausting when you're doing that much work. Like, and obviously it's a different thing, right? Like what my job is significantly more mental than it is physical, but you still get exhausted like that. Playing the game, you're getting that mental exhaustion and that physical exhaustion. When you're on day four, like, you got to be running on fumes at that point. We've seen time and time again. Like, teams.
That's what I was going to say. At the end of the day, you're playing on adrenaline.
Yeah.
You're playing on adrenaline, and it boils down to what team wants it the most. Who's the best in shape. And at the end of the day, that's usually how it goes. That's usually
or
how it goes.
That who wants it?
Right? Yeah, that could do too. But if we talk about teams that have been playing, and somehow four teams, like, it goes to who wants it more, who's the best in shape, and who's willing to, sacrifice the most they can, where it means a lot. And sometimes when some teams that are just already going to the tournament, it doesn't necessarily mean too much.
I think that's why we see more upsets in the quarterfinals too than we do in the semi. Right. That's anecdotal. I don't know that if that's 100% true, but that feels like the perfect like cross section of like, okay, this team has played a bunch and is like it has the momentum and is hot, and like the other team is cold but the first team isn't tired just yet. You know what I mean? Like they're at the very edge. They're about to go off the cliff, but they've got this one game left. The other team's cold, and like you said, they're chilling and suddenly you get that cross section. That's how you get an upset. You know what I mean? In the quarterfinals. And that's why, like, I think making it to Saturday is on the table now. What, 5% chance maybe, but like still, like, because of that, and because that third game kind of lines up well for them. By the way, you mentioning summer one and summer two is like just bringing back bad memories, and I hope you never bring them up again. Just like, having to think back to the college days of those things. I do think like, there is, I don't know, to put it bluntly, like, weird shit happens this time of year, right? Like, like, it happens every single year that a team makes a run that you don't expect. I don't expect it to be Penn State, but also that's why I just said you don't expect it when it does happen. I think they're probably going to make it to, if I had to go on the record with a prediction, I think they're going to make it to Friday. Like, I think they're going to win their first two and then lose that game to Illinois. I think Illinois will get there. But, you know, that's
– Wait, is it Nebraska or is it Illinois?
It could be
Nebraska.
It could be
either. How does that work, Dan? Explain that to me.
Well, so that's just that side of the bracket, right? Because Nebraska plays – I need to look at this to make sure I have this right.
No.
Oh, did it switch on me? It did. I swear to you when I looked at this last night that it was – Illinois was that three seed. Well, this is actually worse for Penn State, if you ask me, because Keisei Tominaga is lighting teams up for Nebraska, and yeah. Penn State is super susceptible to that because they give up so many open threes. But like even if that's the case, I still think they'll end up losing to Nebraska. So they would end up facing Nebraska in that Friday matchup, and then potentially Illinois in the semis.
I'm going to throw this out there to you, John. I'm telling you, I know that this is those teams that have those double byes, man, it's going to be different for them because especially guys that haven't played in this. We're talking about an NBA arena. It's going to be bigger. The deception is different. You know what I mean? That's going to be a difference, especially for shooters. You mentioned the shooter. I can't pronounce his name.
Keisei Tominaga.
You know, yeah, the shooter. You know what I mean? That plays a part. And I'm telling you, those NBA arenas are different. The crowd isn't as close. Everything is different. And you talking about they're not going to get there until Friday. They're going to get there Thursday night. Meanwhile, Penn State will be there in the hotel sleeping in the same bed for two nights, three nights. They're going to get there on Tuesday. So, like, and you know, man, like you said, I know you. It seems tough, but I you mentioned it. Hey, man, that quarterfinals is a lot of upsets happen because, you know, I mean, they let Penn State jump on Michigan early, make it a blowout. They beat Indiana as well. So now we're sitting there in Nebraska. They're rolling. You know what I mean? And that's what you've seen how this team can be when they're rolling. Everybody's feeling good and they're making shots. They're tough to beat because of the pressure they put on the ball. And again, when they're making threes, I can see them sticking with anybody other than obviously the big fella in Purdue.
Yeah, and that's the thing here too. Like this, honestly, this being Nebraska does change a little bit. I still think, like I said, they probably lose to Nebraska. But mm-hmm. that is a more volatile game than I think an Illinois game would have been, right? Like I think there's more of a chance of Penn State getting hot and that being enough, right? Where when it's Illinois, even if they get hot, they need to score, I don't know, 8 points in 35 seconds to win that one, right? Like that, yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's a tough matchup because of how athletic Illinois is. I do think they avoided pretty much all of the landmines that they would want to avoid, right? Like Minnesota, this team does not – I don't think ever wants to see Minnesota again. Blowing double-digit –
It's hard to beat a team three times in a – no, it's hard to beat a team three times
but,
in a row.
I mean, Penn State did it last year to Illinois, though. But I just think the way they lost those games, they – like, that's a game where you go in, like, you're losing your confidence quick, right? Like, it's not ideal. Michigan State, that's a bad matchup for them. They proved it twice this year. Purdue – bad matchup. Northwestern, Boo Boo is a really bad matchup for them. And frankly, the way that Northwestern defends is tough for Penn State. And so like you get all of those teams, they're on the other side of the bracket. Right? Penn State doesn't see any of them until a potential final. So they've got this path. It's narrow, it's unlikely, where they could make the semifinals, right? They could if everything breaks their way, they could make the finals. I don't think that they're gonna win the Big Ten tournament. But there is an angle here based on matchups that you were like, if it were to play out in the best case scenario for Penn State, this is probably what it looks like, right? Like I think they probably couldn't have asked for better matchups across the board.
You know what else I'm looking at also, I think that can play a part, is that I'm looking at all their games are going to be at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of that personally.
I'm looking at. I'm just saying as far as recovery goes.
I don't like writing a game story at 11:30. I'm gonna shelve
for you.
My
it
complaints.
Sucks.
Yes,
but I'm saying for them, you know, 9 o'clock, and literally you just go to bed after the game, and then literally you don't play again for another nine, and then you have the opportunity to just watch basketball all day. You know, as
you
a can, basketball, I think
you
that
have
helps
a full
a lot.
Day. I'm with you. Actually, that's a really good point because I think when you play early, you don't get to decompress, right? Like you're probably just going to sit around and watch games and then you got to wake up and you got to go into it again. You know this. Most professional basketball players know this. When you were used to playing at night, your body clock is set to peak at night. You know what I mean? You're not used to playing at noon. You're not used to playing at 3 in the afternoon. Like you're used to these night games. And I know it's a little more true in the NBA because – pretty much every game's a night game, but still, like you're
then you
used
play
to
the Knicks
playing
at noon.
What'd you say?
On a Sunday. And then you end up playing the Knicks on noon on a Sunday.
Right. And I end up, you know, I can't tell you how many games I've had to watch the Sixers play on national TV this year that just upset me. Ever since Embiid has gone out, pretty much they've been on national TV the whole time. I would like that to stop. But no, I think you're right. That's an excellent point that this could end up. They have this body clock advantage. Honestly, I think the only other scenario that might be better is if they were the first night game. But like you said, this eliminates any chance for distraction, right? You get done playing, you go to bed. It's an 8 o'clock Central time start, but they're still on Eastern time because they are used to that time when it comes to their body clocks. But it's – I don't know, man. I keep rolling them out, and then you just look at it. You're like, well, if this goes this way and that goes that way, and suddenly they're there. But again, it could very much be, well, if this goes this way, that goes that way, they're flying home Wednesday night.
Saturday. Like, or Thursday.
Or Thursday morning, I guess, because that is going to be a late game too. But yeah, it's honestly, this is like my favorite time of the year. I'm not going to be in Minneapolis, but it's still, you know, a lot of fun to track and a lot of fun to keep track of because it's not just the Big Ten, obviously, you got Big 12 and everything too, ACC, Big East, all these tournaments going on at once. It is going to be a very fun week in basketball.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the prime time, you know, for basketball junkies and just anybody that loves basketball, like, especially sports bettors as well. I know they're eager and ready for those brackets to come out try to make that perfect bracket. I do got a question. When does the postseason awards come out? I mean, tomorrow, not postseason. Tomorrow. So, I'm curious about that. Does Ace get a nod somewhere in there? I think he deserves it somewhere. Yeah. He deserves some type of postseason. I'm not sure what he gets because I do believe like those first four teams have so many, stars.
I think he's going to be on an all Big Ten team and I would think
honorable mention or are you thinking he's making
the I think he'll make the team, like one of the teams.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be on first team all defense. Outside of that,
he has to make that though. You know what I mean? Because he's literally is he leading the Big Ten in steals?
I don't have a vote in this. I think it had about 1 year. I don't remember if I did or not. Maybe I'm imagining it. But I don't have a vote this year. It's really difficult, and this is a conversation for another day.
Politics.
But it's also like you just don't get to watch. It's easier with basketball, I'll say this, than it is with football. I've been asked to vote on football stuff where it's like, I don't know who the third best left guard in the Big Ten is because all these teams are playing at the same time. With basketball, it's spread out across the week. I have a better idea of the entire league. Mm-hmm. But still, sometimes people just don't get to see teams as much. And like when you're Penn State and you're the 11 seed in the Big Ten, maybe people aren't watching as much. I don't know. But like you said, you can look at the stats, see the steals numbers, and deduce that Ace Baldwin's a good defender, which I think will probably be the case. He'll be probably the first team. I'm curious to see how it plays out otherwise, if there's anyone else recognized or anything like that. I'm guessing no. Might be an honorable mention for Kudus Wahab, but I don't think so, just based on the counting stats that he has, but yeah, I think Ace is going to get some well-deserved recognition tomorrow. We're recording Monday, March 11th, for what it's worth. But yeah, it is. And again, it inconvenient as I continue to complain about nothing on this podcast. James Franklin's spring ball presser is tomorrow at noon, like the first press conference because spring ball starts tomorrow for football. It's at noon, and the awards get announced at noon. So that is going to be a fun juggling act that I try to pull off.
Yeah, Tim, but you
do you want to guest write a story for me? That would be.
One thing I would say about this is stuff like I knew I had made it before it came out. Somebody's like, so it'll be before 12. Like I knew before,
I'm going to need a heads up before 12 so I can pre-write this story so I can publish it at 12.
Man. But I hope he gets some recognition because I think he deserves it. I think people don't recognize him, Coach Rhodes as well. He should be recognized for what a tough job that is coming in year one and being a very, tough win for a lot of these teams and to win a lot of those games. Conference. Yeah. And to do it. And then on top of the adversity that they faced, with Kanye leaving and just how they started with the four losses in a row to be able to turn his team around and him stepping up in a big way. And I think he should get some type of credit, some type of recognition for what he's done. And as well as Coach Rhodes is keeping that team together.
Yeah, and Ace has been really, really good since Kanye was dismissed from the team. Yeah. But, you know, we've seen it on the court how much better he's been. And if he comes back, I think that's only going to – that trajectory is only going to continue upward. So
yeah,
something to monitor sort of the rest of this year and going into next year. But I think that's probably a good place to leave it for this week. Like I said, Penn State plays Wednesday night at about 9 p.m. Eastern time. Against Michigan in a game that they really should win.
On Peacock.
That's right, on Peacock, which is just – you want to hear me complain about things. I can complain about a lot with streaming services and whatnot. But like I said, that's a good place to leave it for now. If you want to follow Tim on Twitter, you can find him at TimFrage23. You can find me at John Sauber. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.